our habits, and then our habits build us. We continue from last week talking about the power of habits in our life, and they really are powerful because they can start out like a little tiny plant, a little weed, and all of a sudden they overtake us completely. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You move maybe even from a habit early on to some form of dependency. You really needed it, and now it's almost like an addiction in your life. And that's not a good thing if it's a negative kind of dependency. When our dependency is on God and we're acting out of that, that's a different thing. But when we allow other things, substances, people, attitudes, and so on, to become a negative habit in our life, it's destructive. I tell you what I promise. By the end of this show here, I'm going to teach you how habits are formed and specifically what steps you can take to begin a new direction in your life. And it's more than just self-discipline or just starting out, because we tend to wane. We all do. And so welcome to Intentional Living. My name is Dr. Randy Carlson. Along with Jennifer and Steven, the rest of the team, we're talking about building habits in our life that can grow around us and make a difference. Here's a fact. You and I maybe are still repeating habits from our own adolescence, things that we were doing habitually when we were kids, and the pattern is still there even as an adult, or maybe a habit that came along a year ago. And what we find sometimes is a habit that served us sort of well for a while no longer can serve us so well today, because it takes on a life of its own and it becomes something bigger than it ought to be in our life. Many of them did serve us well, like maybe you started the habit of saving for the future many years ago, and that's been helpful. Maybe it was a habit of getting to work on time every day, and that's made your employment better for you and for your boss and given you opportunity to grow. But sometimes our habits can be, well, they can be tragic. It can damage success. It can lead to, well, divorce and marriage, frankly. And sometimes even it can be deadly. And as I mentioned the other day, the Apostle Paul even admits in his own life in the book of Romans, he said, I don't really understand myself, for I want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do what I hate. And I think that's such a just a transparent Apostle Paul telling us that this is a universal battle. I don't understand myself either. But I do know this, that when I have chosen to address some little habit in my life that really isn't productive and replace it with something that's better, better use of time, better use of resources, better use of an attitude, whatever, my life changes for the good. And so maybe we need to develop some, can we call them habits of hope in our life? Yeah, just a thought. So I tell you what, we're going to get into how habits are formed psychologically, and how they can be a benefit, because habits are sticky and they are essential. And I think it's important to understand that habits themselves are neutral. I don't think our brain says, well, this is a bad habit or that's a good habit. That's something that really comes in our own spirit. Habits just stick. They're sticky, and they need to be, because habits help us tie our shoes, get dressed in the morning, drive the car, ride the bike. All the things that we do that we learned over life that we have to learn, that have to become habitual. And we learn how to eat, we learn how to speak, and these things can become habits in our life that can either be beneficial or negative. Thinking about our mouth, for instance, what comes into our mouth and goes out of our mouth, come on, what goes into our mouth or comes out of our mouth is either going to bring us life or death. And that can become a habit. So we'll get into all that as we get through the show here today. If you have a comment, I'd love to hear, what is a habit that you've developed in your life that's made a difference? What is God teaching you for His glory? 888-888-1717. Let's get started. Here's a gentleman who did the math, and he changed a habit that ultimately changed his family.
Hi, this is Richard. I'd like to share something that I did quite some time ago as a young major in the Air Force. I was spending considerable time away from home on Friday nights at what we called in those days happy hour. That hour sometimes turned into 2 hours or even 3 hours, and I realized that I was taking this time away from home, and added it up one day and figured out I'd lose about 2.5 days a month at happy hours. I made an intentional decision in those days, same time as my early walk with the Lord, to give that time to my family on Friday night. And it proved to be a great blessing in our lives. My children were moving from adolescents to teenagers and ultimately leaving home. So that was one of the wisest decisions I ever made in terms of habit. And it was a great choice that I made.
That's great. Richard left that comment with us, and I was thinking, Richard, of the verse in the book of Psalms that says to us that we should number our days that we can have a heart after wisdom. And that's really a verse that reminds us about the power of 24 hours in a day and how every moment we have is a gift from God. And if we get to live about 27,000 days in a lifetime, roughly, give or take, how do we use those things? And, you know, Richard, you're the man saying, hey, I'm losing a couple months every month. Couple days, rather, every month from being with my family. And so I want to do something different and more intentional. Very, very good. Thank you, man. All right. Here's a call from California. This is an interesting comment because Gail, who's going to share with you in a moment, really talks about how they're doing something in their marriage that's really personal to them. And she wants to share with you that's developed a habit that's really made a difference in their marriage, which really raises the question, what one thing could you do, a habit in your marriage over the next 30 days that would make the single biggest difference in your relationship?
Hi, my name is Gail. I'm from Northern California, and we've been married for 45 years, and two habits that we have developed over the years. One is that one of us or the other almost always rubs the other's back at night. I rub his shoulders and his neck, sometimes his feet, and usually in the morning before, as we're waking up, he rubs my back. And the other habit that we have is that we really work on saying thank you, even for little things.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ. We are Intentional Living, and we'll be right back.
We can learn from people who've gone through change. Either they've succeeded in going through change or they failed in going through it. Look at the Bible with new eyes as you read the stories of some of these great men and women of Scripture. What do some of those stories tell you about how these men and women faced the changes in their life? What did these men and women do? What do we learn from these snapshots from biblical history? I think another thing to look at when you learn from others is to read biographies of people. Read the lives of people and what they've experienced and how did they face the changes in their life. If we want to grow through the changes that are coming, learn from those who've gone through them, which is the third group. There are people that you and I can talk to who have been through the changes that we're going to be facing. Growing through change. And the reality is you're either going to grow or you're going to get stuck. And when we get stuck in change, we got to be careful. All right. You're welcome to share your comments with us at 888-888-1717. I think I hear Stephen there. Hey, Stephen, tell us a little bit about, you know, you do this show every day and get it produced. What's going on in your life with some habits?
I think maybe the greatest habit that I've had, and I've been trying to think how long I've been doing this, but I decided that God's Word was important enough to me to where I needed to study it every day. Now, every day means 5 days a week. You know, Saturday is up for grabs. Sunday, you know, we're in church and stuff, Sunday school, you know. But I've been probably at least 15 years. And it's been a blast to do little short studies, to do a study that has something to do with church. And now I've been in a study for a year now on truth. But every day, you know, Father, what do you have to teach me about yourself, about about me, about what I need to be doing. And the cool thing, and I know you know this, Randy, you know what says the word of God is sharper than a two-edged sword. It means that you can read the word and you can have read this verse how many dozens of times, and it's like, whoa, I never saw that before.
Yeah.
And it's just such a joy to be surprised. And my favorite part about study are the rabbit holes, where God takes me down a rabbit trail, because it wasn't someplace I intentionally wanted to go. It was someplace He wanted me to go.
That's good. All right. Hey, listen, learning something, growing, that's good. What about you, Jennifer? What about you?
Yes, indeed. One of the good ones is praying every morning, kind of like taking my vitamins every day. Yeah. I decided that was something important to me, and it also kind of gives me that little pick-me-up for the day. But I always say, thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you for letting me be here. Please help me to change and be a better person and get closer to Jesus and whoever else I'm praying for that morning. But it's every morning before I get in the car and go to work. Mm. And it has changed me drastically in the last, I would say, 2.5 years. Mm. And I did get away from a bad habit. Your listeners are so transparent, so it's just kind of leading me to share this. It's not something I'm proud of, but at one time I said bad words like they were colorful Skittles falling out of my mouth. And this was before I became a Christian, and I just thought, this is really bad. It's not ladylike. It's not cute. I lied to myself in saying that I was doing it as a stress reliever.
Yeah.
But now I just know it was the enemy enjoying what he was doing.
How difficult was that for you to make that, change that habit after?
Really, it took me about a year. Oh. And it was probably one of the only times I actually followed through with a New Year's resolution.
Yeah.
But I slowly took out those bad words and replaced them with other, quote, filler words. And they were good words, not the bad ones. And that really started my change. And whenever I became Christian, it was just, I just don't have that real desire. I'm not saying that I haven't messed up along the way, but I'm so mindful of what I'm saying, how I'm saying it, and I just feel a lot better.
It's good. Transparency, that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody, we all struggle with something, don't we? And let me say this. We're talking about living intentionally in Christ. And when we talk about living an intentional life, we're not talking about you have to be intentional to get saved. That's God's work. He's the intentional part of this equation. He loves you so much. He's crazy about you. And as my pastor says, and I believe that. And when the Bible tells us that He sent His Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, that's His gift. If we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised Him from the dead, we are saved. This is the way God decided to do this. We might have done it differently, but this is God's plan. And today, to simply say, Lord Jesus, I'm on the wrong path, and I'm done trying to do it myself. I'm asking You to come into my life and be my Lord and Savior today. And you know what? After you get up off your knees, or you're standing, or wherever you are, doesn't mean that all of these things that you struggle with, these habits, these thoughts, are going to be gone. They're going to be, Satan, in fact, might turn the temperature up a little bit to draw you in. But here's the key. The key is you say, hey, listen, I have a new identity. Because the research is clear. When our identity is tied to our habits, and our habits are tied to our identity, it's easier to say, you know what, I want to get rid of the language I'm speaking, or the behavior, or my attitude, because I'm now a follower of Christ. So I'm going to work on that for God's glory and my benefit. Not so God's going to like me more, but because I'm showing back to Him and to the world that He's more important than this behavior in my life. That's a key. All right, let's get back to the calls here. We got a call from Michigan. Steven's on the line. Steven, you're a single dad?
Yes, I am.
And how old are your kids?
Well, they're kind of at the end of the process. My one just graduated college, the other one's in college, but I've been a single dad since they were two, 1 and 2 years old.
Wow.
So it was a lot of lessons along the way, but they turned out good.
Well, good for you. Let me ask you then, what are some habits that you've had over these, 15, 18 years, some things that you've been very intentional about
Well, the main thing is to not treat it like there's a divorce, not to ignore it, but I never expressed any malice towards their mom who just decided to go a different way. And it's a matter of realizing the kids didn't do it. They didn't do anything, so I just treated it like it was just the way it is today. And when the topic came up about why is this, why is that, it's just different choices, and that different choices are okay. And as long as they understand that it's okay, there wasn't a lot of anxiety and there wasn't a lot of problems. So that worked really well.
So one of the things you didn't do, it sounds like, you didn't make it a critical environment where mom was being criticized.
No, I just abstained. It was definitely, there was emotion, there wasn't any involvement, and you know, it continued to be lies which hurt everybody. And
yeah.
But when you realize it's just about, you know, these kids every day, and I was fortunate to have them with me, and so we just went on with life just as one parent. But we were blessed with many, many people. You realize, looking back, you know, they say it takes a village to raise a child, and we see how many came into our life, contributed to their success besides me.
That's good. Hey, listen, we're talking about developing habits. You know, the late Jim Rohn made the statement, motivation is what'll get us started in a new habit, but habit is what keeps you going. I think that's true. There's a breaking the inertia to begin a new pattern, as simple as some of the stories you're hearing here today, or the story I shared about learning to start making the bed in our home. And I get a pat on the back. I know. Thank you, Jennifer. But Don always did it beautifully. And I just decided one day to start doing it, to her surprise, and she didn't stop me. I thought she might say, no, I'm going to do it. She didn't. So, and now it's a habit. In fact, I kind of own that process, and I make a big deal when Donna does make the bed if it's not done quite like I would. So there. All right. We're talking about habits today. Let's go to Missouri. This one, I think, sounds like a little bit of an oh-no moment.
I just wanted to share how my husband and I have decided to change some habits. We actually didn't do it on purpose. My husband lost his job 7 years ago, and I was the only income. We have five kids, and it was very, very hard. We lost a lot of things, but we also we had no other choice but to trust God. And during that time, there was a lot of scary times, there was a lot of hard things, but one thing that we learned is that we can do a lot with a little, and that we also can trust God for everything. By the grace of God, my husband just got a job a couple of weeks ago, and now with two incomes, we are going to be able to do a lot in terms of giving, in terms of making sure that we're saving the proper way, because we've been used to doing it with only one income. So everything that we have now is technically extra. You know, we're just continuing to know that those habits that we developed when we didn't have a choice are habits that we have to continue to strengthen and also trust God for as well. We don't want to go back to where we were, where we couldn't trust God with everything that we had, the good and the bad. So I just wanted to encourage anyone that might be going through a similar situation to just trust God and learn whatever it is that He wants you to learn during that time. And it's always a process. There's always something to learn, but bless God, He is always there. He will never, ever leave us or forsake us. In the good times or the bad times, He's always there.
The world's changing, and it can feel chaotic. But what if the key to growing through it starts with how we see it?
The very first step, I think, in understanding that we can grow through change is to accept it. It's not a plot against you or against me, but it's just a reality that throughout our lives, we're in a constant state of change.
In Dr. Randy's teaching titled Intentionals for Growing Through Change, he highlights 10 ways you can grow through the changes in your life. When you give a monthly gift to Intentional Living, you'll be a part of a special group that can listen to this message along with unlimited access to all of Dr. Randy's past teachings. So don't wait. Give now and you'll get access to these life-changing resources today by calling 888-888-1717 or visiting theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Just announced, Family Life Radio's Night of Hope with Dr. Randy Carlson and inspiring music by Jordan St. Cyr.
You've walked me through fire.
Dr. Randy will share practical steps and timeless wisdom to help you face life's challenges with confidence. Friday, June 6th at Haven Church in Glendale.
When I needed rest.
Sponsored in part by Compassion International. Tickets available at theintentionallife.com.
Hey, listen, we're going to have a good evening. And, you know, John was mentioning some practical steps. And I want you to know, if you come, not only are you going to get some great worship music and being with other believers, but I get a chance to share some specific steps on how to be intentional in your life when it comes to the things that matter most in your life and your relationships, in your own health, and in terms of your relational health and emotional health, and how you can truly experience hope in your life. If you're struggling in that area, or you know someone who is, or a night that's just going to be celebrating what God's doing in your life and in your marriage and family, I hope you'll come. June the 6th, we're going to be at the Haven Church in Glendale. That's in the Valley of the Sun, the Phoenix area. And we have limited seating available. Get your tickets, and I hope you'll bring some friends with you. Get your tickets today by going to theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and we'll see you there.
Hi, my name is Jamie. One thing that I do with the kids that they really enjoy, and I think they'll really remember for a long time, is something we call the affirmation bomb. And what that is, everyone sits in a circle, and we take turns going around and telling each other what we like about each other, because so often in our society, we're so focused on what we don't like or what we're not getting or what's not pleasing to us. So we've tried to make it a point in our family to just sit around and say, hey, you know what? I really like your smile, or I really like the shoes you have on, or I really like how you help so-and-so do such thing, and comments like that. And I found the more that we do that, the more the kids actually start to beg to do it again, because they love it so much. Everybody wants to be told what people appreciate about them, and so often that's so forgotten. And you spoke earlier about the power of words, and just simple little compliments like that carry such power. You're absolutely right. And the smiles that you see and the encouragement that you know is being conveyed to them is just something that warms my heart. Thanks so much.
Well, you're right on, my friend. The power of words can either lift us up or tear us down in life. Linda is on the line in Kansas. Hi, Linda. How you doing?
Hi, I'm doing wonderful. Thank you.
Appreciate your call. What habits are making a difference in your life?
Well, I have realigned my thought life. We all have problems, whether it be health, finances, habits, attitudes, whatever. And in the midst of it all, we can still look to the Lord for our strength, because He says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And so many times we can think the wrong things, but God has so many wonderful promises in His Word. He's our shepherd. He's our provider. He's our healer. And if we realign our thoughts and just look to Him and everything that He has done for us, and He's been so gracious, and I'm just so thankful. Mm. And, you know, we can carry that joy with us regardless of our circumstances, and just know that we can trust Him and that He's going to be there for us, and He sees our tears and He sees our struggles, and He loves us, and He's going to see us through it all. So I've been focusing more on Him and not so much on the circumstances or the problems, and it has really lifted my spirit, and it's really made a change in my life.
Now, has this come out of a crisis or an aha moment or what?
Yes. Well, we've always struggled with our finances, and recently my husband has been diagnosed with lung cancer, and then he has several other health problems that he's going through. And I'm just believing God for healing, and I'm believing God for these things, and I'm just being so thankful to him. And, you know, before I even see the result, I'm thanking him for the healing, you know, and throwing my faith out there and letting the Lord know, you know, you're the one I'm turning to. You're the one that can take care of all these things for me, you know. And I just thank him so much for always being there for us. You know, sometimes we don't even realize he's beside us and he's taking care of all these things, but he is.
Yes, he is. And you remind us, Linda, that habits really grow in the soil of our head, our thinking, our emotions, and our behaviors. And that's how these things happen, our head, our heart, and our hands. And so when we think about how we need to deal with a bad habit in our life or a habit that's destructive in our life, understand your desires, your craving. As it says in James, we're tempted by our own desires, and then we're enticed, and then we're dragged away, and then it gives birth to sin. And then when allowed to grow, it brings birth to death. So really ask yourself, what are the desires of my heart? The Bible says that he'll give us the desires of our heart if we delight ourselves in him. Got to watch for the triggers that set off those negative desires, times of day, people you're with, and so on. And then understand that there's always a reaction. We got to change the response to the things in our life which are not healthy or helping us grow. All right. Thank you, Linda. I think I got time for one more call coming in. You know, I want you to listen to this man's story because he moved from addiction to something new in his life. Take a listen.
Hi, my name is Jerry. I heard on the radio today you guys are talking about bad habits and giving them up and what they cost. I was a cocaine and alcohol addict for 28 years. And in the end, it wound up costing me my marriage, my home, my family, my daughter, my grandkids. It cost me my freedom for a while. It cost me everything, my money and everything. And then when I finally had enough of in and out, I threw my hands up and I said, God, I can't do this anymore. I need your help. Please help me. And from that moment forward, when I gave him my will, my total body, soul, and will, he took all desires for any of my bad habits away. I never had another craving for cocaine. I never had another craving for alcohol. Unfortunately, I still had to suffer the consequences because of my actions. But now I'm living a true and an intentional life for Christ. And I'm so thankful that he did get me out of this mess once and for all. After 28 years of living in it, I am a free and clean man. Thanks to the Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Jerry. What a way to put a cap on this topic on habits. It's a big deal. It's more than just having a new habit that's going to help you through the day. It could be something that's going to change your life, save your marriage. You can do this with God's help. Understand that habits are learned. They can be unlearned. They can be changed. And maybe you need some professional help. Get involved with some people that can help you in a community that can help you grow. But get intentional. If you want to learn more about how to really experience that kind of hope in your marriage and your family and your life, come to our Night of Hope. It's going to be in Phoenix on June the 6th. Get your tickets at theintentionallife.com. Theintentionallife.com. I'm Dr. Randy. This is Intentional Living, and it is a ministry of Intentional Life Media.